Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
John chapter 6, verse 67. Then Jesus said unto the 12, after some so-called disciples walked away, said, "Will you also go away?" Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. And we believe that thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." Somebody say, if Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Now find one person next to you and tell them, if Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You may be seated in the house of God. One of my goals for this church, for my life, for you, your family, for those in the room and those watching online, one of my goals for 2024 is that if you are not a student of the Word, that you would fall in love with the Word of God. And then for those of us that are in the book each and every day, that we would fall even more in love with the Word. My prayer is that we would read the parts that challenge us and chastise us, not just the parts that talk about His blessing and His favor. Because His blessing and His favor sometimes will make you fat, but they will not make you grow. Fat is when we go this way, when we don't go this way. Growth comes from nutrition and continually reading the Word of God, but very few times have I ever grown because of reading the things that I like, the things that make me feel good. But when I dig into the Word and I find things that challenge me, things that when I look at them compared to me, I say, man, I'm not everything I should be yet. That is where true growth comes from. When I said that this series would be called Jesus Said, it's very, very important that you realize from Genesis to Revelation is the Word of God. All 66 books, the Bible says in Timothy, are God-breathed and God-inspired. Everything that God wants in the book is in the book. That was a good place to say amen. Everything He does not want in the book, is not in the book. I know some of you came from religions that have extra books, things like Bells and Dragons and Maccabees, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. You say, what's that? Don't worry about it because it didn't make it into the book. Some of us get excited over the director's cuts that did not make the movie. If they had been so great, they would have been in the movie. So the parts that did not make the book are not as important as the parts that are in the book. Because that is the only thing that God has stamped His approval on. That is the only thing that when we say the Word of God, we are talking Genesis to Revelation. Anytime that you say that God spoke to you, whether it's through His Spirit or through an audible voice, it better match His written Word. Because that should be, praise God, the foundation for every God-inspired spiritual word that He gives you, or word that comes through an audible voice that you say that you hear. So I think it's important in 2024 that we realize that the red letters are God's word, but the black letters are God's word too. The New Testament, when Jesus is walking and talking, that is God's word. But from the very beginning of time, Genesis chapter 1, when God said, "Let there be," that is God's word too. Leviticus, when it deals with homosexuality, that is God's word. And so for those that would say Jesus never mentioned it, oh, He mentioned it. He talked about it many, many times. The letters just weren't red. They were black. But it's all the Word of God. I watched a podcast this week on peace. And this young lady did such a great job laying out peace. And somebody got in the comments and they said, the God that you say brings peace, He did not bring peace. The Bible says that He came to bring division. And so I just jumped on the thread real quick and I said, yeah, but Isaiah 9 actually refers to Jesus as the Prince of Peace. To which he replied, that's not talking about Jesus. His name is never mentioned there. To which I did not make any more replies, because if you don't know your Bible well enough to know that Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus, there is no need for me to take my valuable time to try to explain to you or teach to you. I'm just making sure that all of us in the room and online understand Genesis 1 to Revelation is all the Word of God. David said in Psalm 119:11, he said, I hide the word of God in my heart so that I what? So that I will not sin against you. The word of God spoken is powerful. We'll get to it. The word of God memorized is great. But when David said, I hide the word of God in my heart, he's not hiding it so that it doesn't work, but he is hiding it in a place so that he does not lose it. Because how many of you know David knows a thing or two about sinning? David's the one who committed adultery, and then to cover it up, committed premeditated murder. And so he knows a little something about sin, but this is what he also knows. He says, I found that when I hide God's word in my heart and in my life, I no longer want to sin, or I no longer follow through on what my flesh wants to do. In 2024, we need a church that will hide the word of God in their life in such a way when 2023 tricks come, we don't fall like we fell then. We don't succumb to the adversary's attack like we did then, all because we have hidden the word of God in our heart. God told Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, more than once, but in verse 8, he says, meditate on the word day and night. It didn't say meditate on the word Sunday during the day and Wednesday at night. It said meditate on the word day and night. To meditate on the word, you have to memorize the word, because you cannot have your book and your nose in the physical Bible all day long. Most of your jobs won't even let you have one on the desk. They have outlawed Bibles in most schools. And so what does that mean? I'm going to write it. I'm going to memorize it in such a way that you might take the book away, but you can't take the word away. You might be able to take the physical thing away, but I've written the word of God on my heart and I've memorized it so I can meditate on the word. If you're like me, I'm a night owl. How many night owls we have in the room? How many early morning people do we have in the room? How many of you can do both? It don't matter. I love my house at about 9:30, Pastor Mandy goes to bed. At about 10 or 10:30, Jane goes to her room, and the only time I see her is for her to fill up her Stanley Cup. I don't get the Stanley Cup thing, y'all, but I wish I owned stock in it. But my house gets really, really quiet. Ever since Tyler moved out, there's no video gaming. And there's no Call of Duty, and there's no headsets, and there's no loudness. My house gets real quiet. So I like to study and read the Word of God at night. However, God has helped me to begin my day with the Word, so that the Word that I read in the morning and the part that I can memorize in those few moments, I can carry out through my day. So when I'm standing in line at HEB, I've got the word on my mind. While I'm pumping my gas, I've got the word in my spirit. While I'm driving down the highway, I can be reciting and talking and thinking God thoughts. Can I encourage you today? One of your New Year's resolutions is start your day with God. And you don't have to read quantity, but read quality. Get one or two things that God speaks to you in the morning that he can continue to speak to you for the rest of the day. And for the next 14, 16, 18 hours, you can have a Bible study all day long, because like Joshua, you have decided, like when God told him, I'm going to meditate on the word. realize that God tells Joshua to meditate on the word before he tells him he's getting ready to cross over into the promised land. Could I just prophesy to somebody that you are in a season where the word comes before the miracle, where you got to get in your word because God is going to show you something, God is going to tell you something, God is going to deposit something in you that is going to help you make it to the other side. Paul told Timothy, he said, you've got to read the word. When he tells Timothy in chapter 4, verse 13, it is sandwiched between two very familiar portions of scripture. It talks about don't let anybody despise you because of your youth. And then the verse after it says, neglect not the gift that is within you. But before that, he says, you've got to read the word. Can I encourage somebody in the room today to become a reader? Can I encourage somebody today? Listen, I'm all for audiobooks, but can I encourage you, get the pages between your fingers. Get a highlighter and a journal and start writing down God thoughts. Start writing down what God is saying. Paul knows for me to be able to do what I have done, I have had to lean on God and his word. And now he tells a young Timothy, if your life in ministry is going to count, you've got to become a person of the word. Then I love what the centurion, I've never read it like this until this week. The centurion told Jesus, speak the word only. This was when Jesus said, I can come to your house. And he said, I don't need you to come to my house. He said, I am a man that understands authority. I say, come and one come, go and one goes, do this and one does it. He said, I understand authority, and I understand that when you speak the word only, that authority is unleashed, and authority knows no time, knows no boundaries, knows no distance. I need somebody to understand today that 2,000 years later, the word still works and still has the authority that when you speak it, you can send it around the world, you can send it to a hospital, you can send it to a person. I understand the authority of the word. Here is a man who is Roman in upbringing, not a disciple of Jesus, but follows Jesus enough to know that his word works. You know, there's a lot of people that come to Living Way when they need something. And a lot of times we chastise them for only showing up when they need something. But how about this? How about we celebrate them the next time they show up? Because the fact that they showed up is like the Roman centurion. I don't know what all the disciples know, but I know that this is a house that has the presence of God in it. And when Jesus shows up, something happens. Speak the word only. Here's what I want you to do in 2024. When something contrary happens in your family, speak the word only. When you're disrespected, speak the word only. When you're gossiped about, speak the word only. When somebody puts a knife between your shoulder blades, speak the word only. If you get a pink slip, speak the word only. If you get a bad doctor's report, speak the word only. If they're talking crazy to you, speak the word only. If you're talking crazy to you, you better speak the word only. Hebrews 4:12, there's three verses that we'll get into tonight and in our remaining time. And then we'll get into the Jesus saids of Matthew 7. There's seven truths that Jesus shares in Matthew 7 that we'll get to next week. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But I love what the word says next. It says, piercing, even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me deal with the first things first. He says it is so sharp that it can cut bone and marrow, joints and marrow. Can I encourage you? The word of God will never injure you, but the word will perform surgery on you. The word will never leave you worse than when you found it, when you read it, when you declared it, and when you memorized it. But if you get in the word, if you dive deep into the word is going to cut deep into you, but it is going to make you better. It is going to make you stronger. But just like when you go through surgery, some blood has to be shed. It is uncomfortable. There might even be a recovery time, but I am here to tell you in January of 2024, if we will fall in line with what Jesus said, if we will allow the word of God to become the foundation of our life, it will begin to point us in the right direction. It will transform our very being and will transform the future that God is calling us to, but we have to be willing to allow the sharp-edged sword of the word to cut into our lives. And just like cancer, sometimes it cuts out things we don't need. Sometimes it will cut out relationships that are not good for us. Sometimes it will cut out habits that we really enjoy. Sometimes it will do things and do things to us and in us that make us so uncomfortable that we want to quit. But I want to encourage you, if you can stay on the operating table, Jeremiah, if you can stay on the potter's wheel, I promise you that the end result is going to be better than when you met Jesus. There are hundreds of us in the room and online tonight that can say thanks be to God that when the gospel was preached, we didn't run away from Jesus. We ran to Jesus. And there's been some molding, and there's been some shifting, and there's been some breaking down to build up, but it has all been worth it. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, worth it. But the word of God defines what it is, defines what it does, and then this last part is something we never really quote, and is a discerner of the thoughts. That means his word works here. And the intents of the heart. That means the word works here. You say, what about the Spirit? John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word doesn't have to deal with your spirit because the Word is the Spirit. So it deals with what you think and how you feel. The word of God will always trump and override what you think, or it should, and how you feel. There are people in this room today, you didn't feel like coming to church, but there was something at the end of your journey to 13285 Interstate 35 North that caused you to push past your feeling and the way you felt, because you know there is something in the presence of God. Well, when you declare the word, remember, Jesus is the word. John 1:1, when you declare the word, read the word, you are in the presence of the Lord. And when you are in his presence, how you feel begins to fade. And the realness of who Jesus is. Because at the end of the day, you don't need a rah-rah speech. We are not here to cheerlead you on to your next million or a better job. We are here to tell you that Jesus is available to you. And as a disciple, follower, and believer of Jesus Christ, when you make your life about his presence and you fill your life with his word, it doesn't matter how you feel. We're not going to treat you how you feel. We're going to give you enough Jesus where how you feel doesn't matter anymore, because your faith will override how you feel. Then this is what I love, and it's proof that it works. In this room today, we have men, we have women. We have old, we have young. We have Democrat, we have Republican. We have rich, we have not so rich. We have sick, we have healthy. We have people from all denominations. We have people who have zero church background at all. But here we are today. Why we're the only group of people that can lay aside all of those things that would separate us and come together on a Wednesday night. Why is that? Because we realize the Word of God is more important than anything that we could think. Why everybody has arguments and discord on social media about politics, about social things, about all of these things. Here we are today, and we all worship together. Black, white, red, women, men, didn't matter. We worship together today. We talk to Jesus today. We'll line shoulder to shoulder in the altar today. We amen the word today. You might think different from me, and I might think different from you, but when we get around Jesus, what changes? The Word of God. It deals with every thought that we are having. That's why you can't make me hate you. I have too much Word. You can't make me walk out on you. Got too much Word. The intents of the heart, the way we feel, and the discerner of our thoughts. Anytime you find yourself not thinking right, get in your Word. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. I don't have any scientific data. I don't have a lot of people. I have had people close to me that have taken their own life, but I can assure you that most people that are dealing with depression, if not all of them, are not spending enough time in their Word. Because if you're spending enough time in your Word, let me actually rephrase that. Not spending time in your Word, spending time with the Word, because the Word is a person. When you spend time in the presence with His Word in your hands, reading it, it is impossible to stay thinking like you were thinking. And when I talk about in the Word, I'm not talking about in the Word while Judge Judy's on. I'm not talking about in the Word while your kids are running all over the house. I'm talking about an intimate time with God where you're saying, God, I'm going to read this written Word, but God, I want your spoken Word into me. I want your Spirit into me. Deal with the intents of my heart. Deal with all of the things and the discord and discern, God, my thoughts. Matthew chapter 4, let's go just a little bit deeper. But Jesus answered and said unto Satan during his time of temptation, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's why it's important that you understand that there's no mistakes in the Bible. God breathed, God inspired for our reproof, our correction. The Word of God is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, gifts that we have ever received. And the Bible says that we cannot survive on human food, but we survive and we thrive by every single word. I know it's not much of a talent now, but used to in offices, it was a great talent to be able to write shorthand. Y'all remember shorthand? Some of us talk to God or we listen to God and take shorthand notes. We take shortcuts. We don't write it all. We don't listen to it all. We cherry pick. We act like we're at Luby's and I want a little bit of this and I want a little bit of that. And let me make my little Luann platter that now costs like $28. But some of us do that. Oh, Bishop, I like that word. Pastor, I like that word. Ooh, I like that phrase over here. And you know what? If I take that phrase and in the beginning of this phrase and I put them together, that's building your own gospel. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know preachers that do that. They've made an incredible heresy out of the Word of God by building their own gospel. I don't have time to build my own gospel because I am concerned with every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. I need to catch it. I need to evaluate it, and I need to hide it in my heart. One more in closing. Isaiah 55, verse 11. Miss Tammy already quoted it today. That's why I know we're on the same page, because I didn't know she's going to quote it. This is God talking to Isaiah. He said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall not return unto me empty. it shall not return to me until it completes the assignment. But it shall accomplish, here's the kicker though, church, that which he pleases. That's why when you pray, we pray the will of God, not the will of Brandon. We pray the will of God, not the wants of Brandon. That's why I still, when I pray, I say, God, this is what I want you to do, but Lord, at the end of the process, let your will be done. I pray the same prayer that Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. Even Jesus, all God but all man, said, hey, here's what I want. Let the cup pass me. But he said, nevertheless, not what I want, but Lord, let your will be done. In 2024, here's the thing, church. We're all going to have to choose between wants and will. Your wants, his will. My wants, his will. Your wants are not going to satisfy you, but his will always satisfy you. I've been walking with God long enough to tell you I've never been disappointed with his will, but man, have I been disappointed with my wants. Tyler asked for something for Christmas. And when Amazon delivered it, it was in like 8 different pieces. It was something he really wanted until he got it in all those different pieces. Some of us don't realize that what we want is not really what we need until we get it and we try it. And it doesn't help us, and it doesn't fix us, and it doesn't make us feel better. And now we've wasted 2 years, two months, maybe 20 years, because we're always going after once. Let 2024 be the year that if Jesus said it, that's his will, and that's what I am going to pursue. If there are singles in the building today, run after Jesus with all that you have today. Don't go after your wants. Don't go after what you think is going to be perfect, but go after God and his will, and God will bring you that person that is going to complete you so that you can fulfill your assignment. Maybe it's the high school senior, the person that's choosing colleges or choosing a direction in life. I know that you have a lot of wants. What does Jesus say? What does his written word say? But what is he speaking to you? That's why his word and devotion and prayer time is so important. It says, my word will go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. Church, don't you love that word, prosper? And it, what's it? The word shall prosper in the thing which or whereto I sent it. This is what I love, church. He says, when I send that word, it's going to accomplish and do what I please. But he said, whereto I sent the thing I send it to, it's going to prosper in that thing. I got great news for everybody in the room and online today. God sent his word to you. For God so loved the world that he gave the word. In the beginning was the word. He gave his only son so that you and I might have eternal life. He sent the word and gained billions of sons and daughters. So here it is, church. If he sent it to you, make sure that it accomplishes in you what he sent it to accomplish. Because only after it accomplishes in you what he pleases can it then prosper you as the thing to which he sent. Stand on your feet. I hope you catch this, and I'm going to repackage it and say it a different way in a moment. But I believe every day of my life when I talk to God, God sends His Word. I open the Word of God. I read the Word. I discern the Word through His Spirit. God gives me God thoughts, God phrases, God words. Some of those I believe are for, and I've gotten really used to asking God when He gives me a word, God, is this for them or me? Sometimes He says, no, that's for Living Way. Share it. Sometimes He says, it's for both of you. Enjoy it. And then sometimes He says, oh, no. That's you. That's just you. Let that marinate. Meditate on it. See, some of us are speaking things we haven't meditated on. Meditate on it. But He sends that word. And before it can prosper me, it has to please God in me. And the only way that God's word pleases God in me is when I do what that word says to do. And I think that's where the crux is and where a lot of us, we miss it. God, give me a word. And God say, why would I give you a word in 2024 when there's a word that I gave you in January 3rd, 2023 that has still not done something in you that pleases me? And we're over here saying, God, prosper me. God's over here saying, Brandon, please me. Is that too much on a Wednesday night? God, bless me. And God's saying, Brandon, bless me. Say, how do I bless the Lord? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praises will continually be in my mouth. I'm going to do something I very rarely ever do. I'm going to talk you out of coming to the altar. I don't want someone here patty caking. I don't want someone here making a promise to God that you're not going to carry out by next week. But I'm talking to people that are saying, God, I want to please you in 2024. And Lord, if I please you, God, I know you're going to prosper me. But I'm not worried about the prospering me part. I want to please you in my walk. I want to please you in my talk. I want to please you in what your word can do in me and through me. If that's you at the count of five, I don't need you to ask somebody. I don't need you to encourage somebody next to you to take you by the hand. I'm talking to individuals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Get out of your seat. Come to an altar.